That was what we call it, his schedule. So he had a big input in the schedule because he was one of like the three people who were the first group. So he had a very, very big say. So we remember him fondly, and we our learning should continue to be a tremendous course for him. So we left off at the beginning of a new sugya, where just to recap for a moment, where the Gemara tells us that there is a possibility that Cheskas Obodok, there is a very real chance that we can assume that most people did what they were supposed to do. Most people did Bedikas Chometz when required. And therefore, when I'm moving into this house on a Pesach in the afternoon, I don't really have to do anything. Cheskas Obodok. So that's again one side. We're not sure yet whether we're possible like that, but it's definitely a very viable possibility. So come the poskim and say, wait a second, not so simple. There's something very, very shaky about this row, this Cheskas Obodok. But the odds are that the person did a bedikas chametz. That's what's called a rov hatoli b'maisa. A majority, statistical majority, the odds are that somebody did something. That's a red flag in terms of a rov. The rovs that we're familiar with are, there's a rov that most animals aren't treif, or there's a rov that this meat came from that store. There's a robe that something happened. Something, of course, somebody actually did something. Not so simple at all. A robe of Tolbemaisa is a very, very questionable robe. What leads us to believe that there's such a potential deficiency in such a robe, and what would the rationale for that deficiency be? So that's the sugya in Meseches Bechoros. We just barely started on the first of the Marmikomos of Meseches Bechoros, where the Mishnah tells us that if a person buys an animal from a non-Jew, and he has no way of knowing whether this animal previously gave birth. So if the animal gave birth, so then the halacha would be that there's no subsequent requirement to bechor. If the animal didn't give birth, then obviously if it's a firstborn boy, we have something to deal with, we have something to reckon with. So this was a big question, a big suffix in the Gemara. So yes, the Gemara, what's the suffix? So let's pick it up from the Gemara part of the first of the Marmikomos. The Gemara begins, "Mikan ve'elach amai suffix." From here on in, why is it a suffix? Just because time has elapsed, and therefore we're not sure when the animal had a baby. Most animals give birth within a year, and therefore you have a rove. The odds are that this animal already had a baby, and therefore the subsequent child will not be a bechor. What happened to rove? The Gemara says that maybe this Mishnah follows the view of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, she says that you generally don't follow Rav, either Minatom or Rabbanon. And you have what's called the Ruba de Lesa Kamon. It means we're trying to assess that a certain piece of information occurred. Or this animal did give birth or didn't give birth. We don't know. The odds are it probably did. Rabbi Meir is very, very hesitant to apply Rav. The Gemara says it must be that it's following the view of Rabbi Meir. So if you take a look at two lines from the bottom of the first of the Marmikomos, the middle of the line, Elam Arava, Yuchavadur Bishmokur Meir Svilet, Tchai Shlomi Yutavit, our Mishnah is Rabbi Yishmael speaking. Rabbi Yishmael must be subscribing to the view of Rabbi Meir, that we're Cheshesh from Miyut, and that's the reason why we have a problem. But now everything changes. Ravina Omar, Afil Teba Rabbanon, Ravina says, no, we're not going to commit the Stam Mishnah in the Chayrus to Rabbi Meir, even according to the view of the Rabbanon. When did the Rabbanan follow Rav? The original machlekes to remain the Rabbanan was when you have a child under the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah, you want them to do Yibum. The Rabbi Meir says, wait, hold the phone. They can't do Yibum because maybe the child is a Saris or an Islandist. Maybe they're a type of an individual who will never develop properly, physically, anatomically. And we're not going to know that until much later. So we can't risk permitting Yibum, Shalom B'machal Mitzvah, if you have to hold off Chashin L'miyuta. And the Rabbanan said, what are you talking about? What are the odds that this kid's going to be a Saris? Or not? One in a thousand kids, never going to happen. And therefore, you follow Rav. There comes the Gemara and says, when do we follow Rav? That's a Rav that's not totally b'maisa. Aval Rav is totally b'maisa, lo. But if you have a Rav that depends on a maisa, so then a Rav, a totally b'maisa, so that's not considered to be a rove. Rove that the animal had a baby, that's not considered to be a rove. That's a rove totally b'maisa. We're going to have to fine tune exactly what the mice exactly. What exactly is rove totally b'maisa? because the only way for the animal to have a baby is the animal mated with another animal. So that means we have to assume, is there any, way to block the, just the screen? What? Is there any way just to, no, it's just somebody's, is there any way just to, block the, I don't see.
What, Rebbe?
Oh, no, they were good, no, it was just, the screen was just confusing me, okay. Okay, keep working. So, again, so since the odds that the animal had a baby requires of us to say that a mice took place, that a bit of mating took place, a robot or a mice we don't see. So ad kan divrei Gemara. So we have what appears to be a machlekes in the Gemara. Ravina was the one who was bechadish this idea of a robot told by mice to be insufficient. Robert didn't say that because Robert said the Mishnah Bechairis is in fact Rabbi Meir speaking, and in Ochanami, according to the Rabbanon, this rov would be good. So there seems to be a machlekes to Gedoli Amorim, the later Amorim, Rav and Ravina. Is there such a limitation on rov? Do we say that rov Torah Maisa is not acceptable? Again, we don't know yet why that should or should not be so, but that seems to be what we're extracting from this Gemara. Now, coming back to our Gemara in Masechet Tzachim, where is that? Here, our Gemara talks about, oh yeah, Cheska Fabodok, there's a rov, everything is Gemaldik, everything is wonderful. Where is it? Not simple. Is everything wonderful? According to Rava, maybe everything's wonderful, but according to Ravina, not everything's wonderful. Isn't Cheska Fabodok just another way of saying a rov taller than Maisa? That means the majority is, the odds are, statistical probability is that a bedikas chametz took place. According to Ravina, that you don't say statistical probabilities that events took place, but then why do we have a right to say statistical probability that bedikas chametz took place? So we have a little bit more work to do in terms of applying this sugi b'charis to Agamar. But before we try to plug it into Agamar, let's just try to collect a little bit more data, a little bit more facts. What is our take on Rava Talmud Maisa? The Gemara kind of leaves it hanging as a machlekes Ravina and Rava. Are there any other sugyas that play out that are going to impact on Rava Talmud Maisa? So we go back to the second of the Marmikamos. It's a sugya that we've spoken about in the past. It's a very, very lumdish, so to speak, of sugya. Very, not exactly the most common shine of Bizman is there, but the lumdus behind it is going to become critical for us. The second of the Marmikamos, it's a Mishnah, the very, very end of Maseches Yavamos. The Mishnah says, "La'ish shalach ba'ala b'taras l'mdinas hayam." A woman and her husband, so let's say Reuben and Rachel, go off l'mdinas hayam. Ba'av amrla meiz ba'alech, and Reuben and Rachel went off to l'mdinas hayam, but Reuben left one wife behind. He left Leah behind, and that word comes back to Leah that her husband died. To the best of Leah's knowledge, Reuben doesn't have any children. Reuben didn't have any children. He left a few years ago. He didn't have any children. But of course, there's always that question mark. What happened in the interim? Did the wife, did the tzara, did Rachel, who went with Dina Sayam with Reuben, did she bear him a child over the last couple of years? So we have no way of knowing that. You just take a look at Parshas Vayera and see how long it takes for information to come. 30 plus years later, so all of a sudden we hear about Milka giving birth to Father Menachem Rechicha. So we really didn't travel that fast in the old days. There weren't that many, simcha, WhatsApps involved. So comes the Mishnah and says, "Here, this woman is sitting here, 1,000 miles away, trying to figure out if she's a kukulibum or not a kukulibum. Did her husband have a baby with the tsar, with the co-wife, or did he not have?" So the Mishnah says, "Lo tinas lo sasyapim." The Mishnah says she's stuck. Her hands are tied. She can't stop and get married because there's a chance that she still is kukulibum. There's a possibility that the husband does not have a baby. On the other hand, she can't do yibum because there's a possibility that the husband did have a baby. And if he had a baby, then she's not kukulibum. Either one of the wives had a baby from this husband, all the wives are exempt. And if she'll go ahead and do yibum under no circumstances, that'll be an issakari. So she's going to check me. She can't stop married because maybe she is chayavas in yibum, and she can't do yibum because maybe she's not chayavas in yibum. Of course, it should be obvious she has an option available to her. Why doesn't she just do chalitza? Isn't that the safest of all options? So the Gemara explains what the problem with that is. That's already a technical yivamis problem, why we can't let her do chalitza so fast. But the Mishnah is very, very clear that right now she's in somewhat of a waiting mode. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. Why did she have to wait? Let's take a look at the next line of the Gemara. And seventh, the second of the Gemara comes. Bishlam Yevumelo, the Dumam Abra, the Kapaga Be'eshes Achter Aisa. I understand why we don't let her do Yibum, because on the chance that the wife, the Tzara, became pregnant, so then wait a second, then once she becomes pregnant, there's no mitzvah of Yibum anymore. There's no mitzvah of Yibum, then for her to do Yibum would be a violation of Eshes Ach. So that I understand. Why can't she just get married? Why can't she get married? We have no idea whether you had a child or not. Says, good, what's the big deal? Halakha Harov Noshim. Rav Noshim is Abbas Fiyoldo. Says, well, she has a Rav. The odds are, the statistical probability is that the husband did have a child already. Because most couples, they go off on a trip. He's been away for 5 years. So he's young. She's young. Most probably they had a baby. I can't say for certain. But most probably they had a baby. And since Rav Noshim is Abbas Fiyoldo, why can't we simply let her remarry? Assuming based on Rove, we can't live our lives based on Rove. What's wrong with Rove? The Gemara starts the same pismet over again. Lema Rabbi Meir, he dechai shlemiyuta. The Gemara says, maybe it's Rabbi Meir speaking. The Gemara says, back and forth and back and forth. Taka, maybe it's Rabbi Meir. The Gemara says, take a look at the end of that paragraph. El mechavar to masisim Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara thinks to that and says, you know what? It makes sense that this would be Rabbi Meir speaking. According to the worldview of the Chacham, that you do follow Rove, lo chashir lamiyut. We're not worried about miyuts. There would be nothing wrong with letting her remarry. That's what the Gemara says at this point. But now the Gemara makes an about face. Elamar Rova. In the next part of that Mamrakom, we're like taking steps out of Kufya Tess. If you'd be learning the Gemara with Chir Vetzof, it would take us 2 weeks to go through every shachmat. We're trying to get the extract the main points. Elamar Rova says the Gemara. Now let me explain to you why it's not so simple. Why we can't let her just remarry just like that, even though she has a robe. Ela Marava. Reisha chazok al yibum v'ruba l'shuk. It's true that there's a robe pointing the shuk. Shuk means l'hater ha l'shuk, means to permit her to get married, yivam l'shuk. Based on the robe, if you make a list of all the things in her favor and against her favor. So on the list of in her favor to let her remarry whoever she pleases, she has a robe. The odds are it's not right. 90% of the time, the kohen probably had a baby. On the other hand, she has a chazak al yibum. Before the husband left, he did not have any children that we knew about. So therefore, her status quo was that if and when her husband will die, she will be obligated to have yibum. So she has a role left there, but a chazak al yisur. So she becomes this rabbi. I want to get married. I want to marry a stranger. So the role paskins, hey, married a stranger. The chazak. Hold off, not so simple. Your status quo is that you're not going to marry a stranger. So what do you do? Chazak l'wadiv kiruba. So the truth is, the Gemara says, chazak is not as good as a rove, but the aisi miyuta de mapilos, smoch l'chazaka, pavle palga upalga l'tiras l'asyam. Says the Gemara, even the rove is not perfect, because every rove, by definition, has a miyut. And here there's a small chance that even al tzad that she became pregnant, she may have had a miscarriage. Now again, it's unlikely, but it happens. And therefore, that miut of mapilos can join forces with the chazaka, and believe it or not, can offset the rove. So we're making a list. We're trying to figure out hashidduch prospects. She wants to know, Rabbi, can I marry whoever? I want to marry Yitzchak right now. I want to marry a stranger right now. So let's figure it out. Let's do the math. So rove dictates, goes on the hate, you can marry because the odds are your co-wife out in China probably had a baby already. So Rove is Lahatir. Chazaka makes us think twice about it, because 6 months ago you couldn't have married Yitzchak, so maybe the Chazaka hasn't changed. So we have a Rove against the Chazaka, and we're probably okay. We're probably about to tip the balance, the scales in our favor. The Rove is going to offset it away. Not so simple. Since every Rove has a miut to reckon with, the miut joins forces with the Chazaka. Smoch miyut of a Chazaka v'yisul aruba. That's what the Gemara just said. That miut and chazakas join force that overcome a rope. That's pshat in HaMishnah. So the question is that true? Are those facts right? I mean, all those facts are correct. All those numbers are right. The rope is the rope lehetir, the chazaka lehetir, and the miut. All those factors are correct, but is the conclusion, the end of that equation, correct? Therefore, we say smoke miut chazaka this in the room. Is that really true? That's a big machlekes that we showed him. So Rashi, on the spot, says on that last line, Makom, to Rabbi Meir, the Chayesh Lemiyuta, says Rashi, this is true according to Rabbi Meir. This whole Cheshbon is not true according to the Rabbanim.
According to the Rabbanan, there is no reason not to let this woman remarry. Because according to the Rabbanan, Ruba v'chazaka, Ruba adif. That we follow rope against the chazaka. We don't say smoke mitl chazaka. So therefore, according to Rashi, this entire Gemara is shalek halacha. Mishnah shalek halacha, the Gemara is shalek halacha. Everything is shalek halacha. We paskin halach lemaisa, says Rashi, like the Rabbanan and the Rabbi Meir, that if such a crazy case arises, let her get married. She had a robe on her side. Notwithstanding what Rashi said, let's take a look at the Ramban, at the very bottom of the third of the Ramban. It's going actually to the back page. The Kosha Leinu says the Ramban, we have a huge problem. She calls for Rabbeinu Zal, Mishnah say, the Paskin Balach is the Rif, quotes this Mishnah Halacha. The Rif only paskins, he quotes the sugyas that are relevant Lamaisa. He quotes this Mishnah. Wait a second. He says, how could we follow the sugya? How could it be? He says, why in the world should we follow this Mishnah? What happened to Rove? Don't we follow Rove? Rashi says, you're right. Rashi rejects it. Rashi erases the Mishnah. Rashi says the Mishnah is not relevant to Lamaisa. But the Rif quotes the Mishnah. The question is, what is Pshat? Why in the world does the Rif quote this Mishnah? So there are two approaches that are both given by the Ramban as to why the Rif quoted this Mishnah. Both of these approaches are going to impact greatly on our discussion. So comes the Ramban and offers two possibilities. One is he quotes the name of Haigon. I think I cut part of it off here on the Ramban. Oh no, it ends up on number five. Okay, we're going to put together the three and five together. So one beer, the Ramban, which basically says as follows. Even though there's a machlekes Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan, whether you follow Rove or not, or whether you choshesh lemiut, even the Rabbanan agree lechumra, smoch mit lechazocha. That yes, the Rabbanan are big believers of Rove, and yes, in theory, Rove overcomes chazochas, but mit the Rabbanan lechumra, smoch mit lechazocha. And that's all the Mishnah means, and that's all the Gemara Yavamis means, and that's why the Rif quoted it. That this Rove is not fundamentally flawed. There's nothing really wrong with this Rove. It's a good Rove. The only thing is that smoch mitl chazocha is something that we do have to reckon with. So if you take a look at the fifth of the Maamar Kamos, the Ramban writes that Shematzina b'shem ben Haigon Zal, the Rav Alibi the Kuliyam Mukla Masdis. When Rav said that our Mishnah is based on smoch mitl chazocha, he said it according to everybody. The Ad Kan lo Amir Rabbanan Zubasaruba. When do we follow Rove? Ela Baruba the Lake Chazaka Kenegdoi. When there's no Chazaka contradicting it. Aval Heicha Diki Chazaka Samchinim Yutul Chazaka. Probably the Pagul Pagul Shavin and La. Says the Ramban the Tash of Haigon that the reason why this Mishnah is accepted by Halacha is because yes, we do accept the principle of smoking the Chazaka, albeit the Chumra. So far we haven't said anything that impacts directly their sugya. We started out by living a sugya Maseches Pesachim. We dug up a Gemara Masechet Becheiros. We're learning a Gemara. It's nice. Like Sheish Weiss was just collecting all the things they have to do with Rove. But we still haven't gotten back to our punchline. Comes the Ramban, the Eijei Shleimar, comes the Ramban and says, let me explain to you what's wrong with this Rove in Masechet Yevamos. Take a look at the very end of the third of the Maamar Kamos. Three lines from the bottom. He quotes the Gemara Masechet Becheiros. Ravina Amr, the end of the line, Afilu Tem Rabbanan, Kiaz the Rabbanan Basaruba, Rubud Lotali Bemaisa, Rabbatul Rubud Tali Bemaisa, Basaruba. My Maisa, I Allah Allah Zachi Lala Zach. What's the robe of Tali Bemaisa Bechorov? The animal made or not? Listen to Ramban now. Here's the punchline of the Ramban. Bahachinami, Rubud the Tali Bemaisahu. You're discussing a robe. Did this woman become pregnant? Did she have a baby or not? That's a robe of Tali Bemaisa. The only way for her to become pregnant is did they have a maisa be or not? So any and every time you have to invoke the principle of a rov atol b'maisa, no good. Off the church, that's not a rov. Says the Ramban, the same way that the Gemara says in Masechet Bechoros, that we can't be mat the animal based on, oh, it's probably not a bechor, because probably the animal was mated 3 years ago. Gemara says, no, Ravina Amar, no, that's no good. That's a Robotobi Maisa. Robotobi Maisa, no good. Comes the Ramban and says, that's exactly the same reason why you can't say Rov Nashim Esabas for Yoldos and permit her to remarry. That's also a Robotobi Maisa. What's the difference between did the animal mate or did the couple have relations together? Those are also. So says the Ramban, any and every rov that's dependent upon an action happening is automatically disqualified. Again, we have no idea why, but we don't understand the Gemara Mechares either. But we now have more ammunition, says the Ramban. We have two Gemaras now that are talking about disqualifying a rov atal demaisa. We have a Gemara tucked away in the third back of Mechares. We can't be matter a suffix b'chor based on rov atal demaisa. Now we have a Gemara tucked away in the Kufya Tess and Yevamis of all places, the 16th back of Yevamis. You got to learn through 15 full prophets to get to the 16th parak of Yevamos that says that, by the way, the reason why the Ishaq Balam Tzeras and Nisayam doesn't work is because of Rav Tal Ben Maisa. So we have now a lot of ammunition, which is now strengthening our question. So wait a second. We have two Gemaras that are saying the principle of Rav Tal Ben Maisa not working. Yeah, we don't know why it doesn't work, but we have two Gemaras that are saying it. Go back to Pesachim. Why is Pesachim any different? It's also vital Rav Tal Ben Maisa. Rove that the guy did Bedikas Chametz. What's the difference between rove that the fellow did Bedikas Chametz in contrast to rove animals were mated, rove people had relations with their wives and became pregnant? These are all the same deficiencies. It's all the same problem. They're all Rav Tal Ben Maisa. If you really believe Rav Tal Ben Maisa doesn't work, so then what right do you have to apply to Maseches Pesachim? So we didn't solve any problems this morning. We just made the problem worse. So we have a lot of different Gemaras that are now all bearing in together on the sugya of Rav Tal Ben Maisa. But we have to fine tune a little bit because this Gemara in Yevamos is a little bit troubling. Because this Gemara in Maseches Yevamos, this last approach that we gave, that the reason why the Rav doesn't work is because of Rav Tal Ben Maisa, not everybody said that. The Ramban said it, but guess what? You know who didn't say it? Rashi didn't say it. Rashi said the Rav Tacha does work. Rashi says Aliba Diemus, according to the Rabbanan, she can remarry. There's a Rav that her husband, that the husband and the wife had a child. You know who else didn't say it? Haigon didn't say it. If Haigon said the only reason why the Rav fails us in the entry of Amos is because Smech Mitl Chazaka has been combined together the Miyot with the Chazaka, implying that if not for that reason, the Rav would have worked. So what's going on? Is this a good rov or is it not a good rov? It sounds like it's a rov of Tal Ben Maisa, and yet we find two out of three Rishonim seem to be just fine invoking it. Rashi invokes it L'maisa and says the whole Mishnah Shalek Yalacha. Rav Haigon said it's basically true except that there's a problem with smoking with Chazaka. It's only the Ramban who all of a sudden discovered America and said, oh, by the way, this rov is no good. It's a rov of Tal Ben Maisa. So it's just making this sugi even more complicated. So we have three different scenarios on the table here. We have the case of Bedikas Chametz. That's always start. That's how our sugi started. We're all learning Pesachim. Contrary to popular opinion that we're learning the sugars of Rove, we're all learning Pesachim Daf Dalet. So we have a Gemara Pesachim that's entertained the possibility of Cheskas Obaduk, which seems to be accepting a Rove, even though it's Talib Maisis. That's one Gemara. We have a Gemara Bechairis that said the reason why the animal, you can't just ignore the Suffolk Bechor, you can't just say, oh, well, it probably had a baby. No. In order for that animal to have had a baby, it had to have been mated. That's a Rove Talib Maisa, and that's no good. And then you have a third Gemara in Yevamos where at least the Ramban is invoking the principle of Rav Tal Ben Maisa, and that's the ultimate reason why this woman can't remarry. But other Rishonim clearly didn't go down that route. Rashi said she can remarry according to the Rabbanan. Rav Haigon says she should have been able to remarry except for the quirk of a Rav Tal of a Smoch Mitl Chazoka. But we're still with one big question mark. Is a Rav Tal Ben Maisa good? Is a Rav Tal Ben Maisa no good? Why should a Rav Tal Ben Maisa be good? Why shouldn't it be good? Are we dealing with some kind of a deficiency in HaTorah? Are we dealing with some kind of a Chumah Midrabanon? Why in the world would the Chumah have made such a din? Why would the Torah have made such a din? So we have probably more questions than we have answers to. So we're right smack in the middle of the heart and soul of a Rav Tal Ben Maisa. Everything we're going to say is going to depend upon these three Gemaras, the interplay between the Gemara Pesachim, the Gemara Bechayrus, the Gemara Yevamos. Hopefully that's the Shem on Friday. We'll try to pick up and hopefully get a little bit of clarity in this somewhat difficult subject.
Hi, Ravi. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ravi?
Yeah. I'll try to get the Makaris later today, okay?
Okay, terrific. Thank you.